Well, if you joined us online last Sunday, I'm not just taking the easy way out of taking the various Sundays of Advent and adding a question mark at the end. Maybe I'll end up doing it with all four of them, I'm not sure, but last week we had a question. Today we have a question, and the question is peaceful. Or peaceful? Depends where you want to put the emphasis, I suppose. But really what the question is, more than anything else, is how is it peaceful today? And if we're supposed to live in hope, is it unreasonable for us to ask to see the potential in some of these other parts of Advent? Because it was really hard for me when I was looking at these texts and when I was thinking of what's going on in the world to find peace coming anywhere, really. I mean, yes, the Bible talks about peace. It's always in the future, it seems. Peace is always on its way. And if we're not careful, or at least if I'm not careful, I'm working hard at not thinking for other people. I don't think for myself all that well, so why I think I can think for all of you seems more than a little suspicious. But I can find myself thinking that peace is one of those things that's always tomorrow. I don't know if you watch This Hour is 22 Minutes, Rick Mercer's satirical show, but they had this really interesting and, oh, it struck home, little sketch where they had these two people looking at the forecast. And you know the forecast, it tells you what's happening today, and then it's going to get better and better and better. By day five, it's wonderful. And you see them going through this. And then every two or three days, the forecast changes. And then it's going to be better in 5 days. And 5 days. Well, 5 days is 5 days from now. 5 days never comes in this sketch. And sometimes I feel the same way about peace. We are told that peace will come. We have politicians, we have political scientists, we have wise people of all sorts telling us that peace is on its way, one way or another, that things are getting better. And they are, really. The chances of you dying by violence now are among the lowest that it's been in the history of the world. Does that mean it's peaceful? I don't know. Look at sort of political discourse, cultural discourse. It's not characterized by peace. It seems to be characterized by at least verbal violence and people calling each other names and all of that. And I just think, well, where is this peace? It's not always a good idea to ask God questions unless you're sure you want the answer. And as I was thinking about this, and I was saying to God, okay, what's the big idea? We have a Prince of Peace. We've had thousands of years of this, waiting for this peace. Where is it? Yes, it's better than it has been. Would anybody characterize the world at the moment, on the whole, as peaceful? I don't think so. We see conflict between countries, between identifiable ethnic groups. We see conflict between cities, between people. We hear of conflict in homes. It seems to be everywhere. And so I look to God and I say, I've learned to stop accusing God of things. It doesn't do you any good and you just feel really foolish later. But I was asking God, I just don't get it. How long do we have to wait? Is it always 5 days from now? Is it going to be sunny in 5 days, but it's always 5 days away? And so as I was thinking of that, I came across a very well-known prayer. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, so I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. We don't know whether it's Francis's or not. It almost certainly isn't because of the language. for Francis to speak to of himself as almost anything was very unusual. But it's called the Prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, and we can just assume it's another one or whatever we like. But it says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. That's quite the prayer. And I take just a brief moment to say that that prayer has been misused often in my experience, because people have said, well, look at the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi and stop thinking so much about yourself. Okay, if you're thinking too much about yourself, maybe you should. But what this prayer is saying isn't that you are nothing. It's not saying that you will never be consoled or anything else, because it's not talking about that. It's talking about something else. It's talking about how does peace happen. Peace happens when peace happens. And what we want is we want peace between nations, which is really, really hard to achieve if there isn't peace between people. My youngest son, Clayton, and I are doing his school. He's a little behind for a number of reasons, but he's doing basically grade 10 history, and we're just finishing up the First World War. At the end of the First World War, there was an armistice. There was a peace. Except no one wanted it. Certainly not as it was. And so it didn't work. It didn't work at all. And a few short years later, there was another war that was even worse in many ways. And after that, there was a peace that hit and stuck for a long time. Well, why? At the end of the First World War, the French didn't want peace. They just wanted to make sure Germany never did anything, did anything ever again. Germany wanted revenge. Everybody hated everybody else, and they thought it was a bad peace, and it was. So it didn't last. At the end of the Second World War, we had this peculiar little thing called the Marshall Plan. It wasn't really Marshall's. It was a bunch of other people. But what it did is it stepped in and said that, okay, all of you human beings who have been fighting for a long time are still human beings. You still need food and shelter and medical care, and we're just going to work together and we're going to make sure you get that. We're not going to punish you because you lost. We're not going to take away all your stuff because you tried to take away our stuff. We're going to try and be bigger than that. And we had a lasting peace in Europe, the longest peace in Europe, really, ever. Why? Because individual people said that peace matters. And talk to other individual people. And it was a peace that arose, if you will, both from the bottom to meet what was coming down from the top instead of just from the top. And all of that comes back to what Francis or whoever wrote this prayer says. I need to be an instrument of peace. I need to sow love, not hatred. I need to forgive people. I need to work towards unity. I need to do all of those things. I need to be in a position where I can try to console people rather than insisting that I always be consoled. And the only way that happens is if I have a stable relationship with God. That relationship I have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, helps me know that I will be consoled. That gives me confidence for the future in a way that nothing else will. And if I have that, then I can do the things in this wonderful prayer. But if I'm always worried about myself, I can't. So how do I do that? How do we pull all these things together? Well, it begins with an understanding that I was loved before the beginning of the world. That the infinite God loves me infinitely at every moment and does the same for each of you, because that's what infinite means. There are no limits on God's love, and God loves me all of the time, every second of every day, whether I'm aware of it or not. God always has, and God always will. And when I can start taking those kind of truths within myself, it's easier for me to not ignore what I need consolation for, because I probably have something going on, but to just put it at rest for a moment, to reach out to someone else, to console them, to bring peace to them. Because I can't make any country peaceful. I can't make any country sign a treaty with another country bringing peace. I can't disarm a gang. I can't do any of those things. When it comes to the physical reality of peace, beyond myself, I can do nothing. But from within myself, I can do all of these things. I can be this little oasis of peace wherever I go. I couldn't for years because I was angry all of the time. Always. I was always, always angry. I have the x-rays to prove it. There was always something that made me mad, and I was one of those people. And as I moved into this relationship with God, as I began to understand, and it's taken me a long time to realize that God's love actually means God's love for me, not just for the world, but for me, for each of us. And when I did that, when I made that leap, that new understanding, it became possible for me that when people said stupid things, to just let them say them. I didn't have to correct everybody all the time. I could listen to what they said and hopefully listen to what they were trying to say, and if it wasn't quite right, that was fine. We could still have a conversation about whatever it is that we needed to converse about. I didn't have to be right all the time. And when I realized I didn't have to become right all the time, I realized that I didn't have to judge people all the time. And when I stopped judging people, man, it's easier to love them when you don't judge them all the time. When I'm not looking for what's wrong, because I don't care what's wrong. And so now, people talk to or refer to me as somebody who is patient, who is a peaceful presence, and I still find that astonishing and a gift from God. So peaceful with a question mark? Well, the answer is yes, but only for me. I can't even speak for you. I can encourage you. I can say that I have seen in each of you that I can see here and all of you that I saw online, I have seen moments where you have brought peace because there were opportunities for something else that you didn't pick up and take advantage of. You brought peace and care, consolation. And when we do that, we are the bringers of peace. Yes, we want peace. We want a bigger peace than that. Of course we do. We want a peace with justice where people are treated with all the value that they deserve. But until we get that, we can do that. We can be kind to the people around us. We can treat them well, whether they deserve it or not, because we don't get to decide who deserves kindness. We are called love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. There you go. If Jesus says that sums up everything, I think that's good enough for me. And if I am willing to work hard at that, that will make me the kind of person who is more likely to bring peace than conflict, to more likely bring consolation than harm. Is it easy? Well, no. It's getting easier. When I had to sort of grit my teeth to love people, it was really hard. I hope none of you had to go through that process. When I realized that it was I can't remember the exact day, except I think it was in the fall, because I remember that autumnal sky. And I was just looking out, and I realized that I didn't hate the world. or the people in it. And I actually loved people I didn't even know. I even loved people I didn't like. It was, you could have knocked me over with a feather. It was like a, well, it was a miracle. God worked within me as I worked with God to become the kind of person who can bring peace where I am, because that's all I'm called to do. I am not called to be a diplomat. I don't think any of us are. We're not called to bring peace between denominations, between churches, certainly not between countries. But we are called to bring peace wherever we go, because that's part of loving people. Conflict is very seldom a sign of love. But helping people, caring for them, bringing consolation, pardon, faith, hope, light, all of these things in this prayer and all of the things in Scripture, that brings peace. Eventually we'll know peace. At some point this will be a peaceful world. I don't know if I'll see it or not, but I do know that I can be someone who works for peace, even now. And I can take that question mark off and just say that, yeah, I can be peaceful. Amen.